It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're in conversation with the ninth president of the UW system, 6 months into his tenure now. Let's check in now, though, on our year-end member drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Rick Ryer. Good morning, Rick.
Well, good morning, Kate.
We are here to say that this year-end member drive is your chance to support the programs that you count on every day here on the Ideas Network, programs that keep you in touch, informed, keep you inspired. Your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important as we end this year and look forward to 2023.
Last hour, we heard from 30 donors. Thank you so much to everyone who gave. The goal this hour is for 15 gifts. These goals are set up to make sure Wisconsin Public Radio has the money to pay for the programs that you rely on.
Indeed, and let's meet this goal. It happens one gift at a time. Let's start with yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You enjoy listening to Wisconsin Public Radio in part because we're commercial-free. That means we depend on other sources of funding. State, federal, and business sponsors are important. And there's another source that's very important, too.
That is largest piece of the funding pie for WPR programs comes from you. Your support makes all the difference. It is the backbone of how things work here. So when you give, you keep the quality, independent news, talk, information, music flowing on the air. So make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, take a moment to think about when you first discovered Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe a friend recommended the great music, high-quality news, interesting conversations, or maybe you were just scanning the dial. However you first found WPR, I bet you're now hooked.
And whether it's been years or just a few months since you found us, your contribution of, say, $10 a month or $120 supports the quality programming that you valued since the first time you joined us, the first time you listened. So be part of making WPR possible. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
How often did you turn to Wisconsin Public Radio last year for essential news and quality entertainment?
I keep the WPR webpage open all the time.
Generally, while I was driving around town.
Every single day.
I listen to WPR at home all the time. My kids are always like, Mom, turn on NPR.
WPR is an important part of your life, year-round. And your contribution now is what makes all of the information and inspiration you'll enjoy next year possible. Have an impact. Give now. Here's how.
Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It is the year-end member drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rick Ryer. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, has an important impact.
And we know that you value your time. We value your time as well. So giving to Wisconsin Public Radio takes just a few minutes. Tell us your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
It's quick, it's easy, and your gift right now really helps out. So take the next few minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our goal this hour is for 15 gifts at WPR in the next 50 minutes. We hope to meet that goal with your support. WPR is listener-powered, and that's why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Support Wisconsin Public Radio and ask for those fabulous WPR playing cards. This traditional card deck featuring illustrations of Wisconsin wildlife is yours with a gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Step up right now because this gift is only available today while supplies last.
And this is a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up, convenient, ongoing monthly donations. from your bank account or your credit card. Get started now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I want to give a shout out to Jay in Fort Atkinson, who says, I love your local news and all of the reporting you're doing on local issues and local politics. It is wonderful. Jay, thank you for that and saying local, 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 right? Your gift now is so important at WPR.org. And thank you for your support. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent as we touch down on a range of issues with UW System President Jay Rothman. Started his tenure 6 months ago. Some roadmap here for conversation. We'll discuss campus consolidation and enrollment later on. And we start with a free speech survey sent to a random sample of UW students last month. Call in with your questions about the system, 800-642-1234. Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. President Jay Rothman, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. It's great to be with you today.
Well, starting with the free speech survey, what do you hope to get out of the survey?
I think what we hope to learn is just get a sense of what's going on our campuses, the understanding of the First Amendment, the sense of is there self-censorship going on? Do our students feel that they can discuss difficult issues, ask questions in good faith, without being tainted or otherwise labeled as part of the process as we go forward? It's really part of our overall civil dialogue process. We want to learn. We want to continue to get better. I think our campuses are doing a great job around freedom of expression, but we always want to be able to improve and enhance the experience for our students.
This is the survey had been planned for going out in May. But then, of course, we had heard some pushback, right, about UW-Whitewater Chancellor James Henderson, who criticized the survey when he resigned. Chancellors at other schools were objecting as well. How important is it to you to see this survey through?
I think the importance of this is that all of that occurred prior to my tenure. And what we've done since that time was we spent a lot of time starting in June, actually going through and getting input on the survey. We had survey experts from our campuses, internally at the system administration. We sought input from shared governance. We had an advisory board consisting of people on both sides of the political aisle. We sought input from chancellors and really tried to have a survey of all that we think will give us the best chance of getting good information, questions that will elicit what the actual climate is, and to get statistically reliable information that we can then use to continue to enhance the educational experience for our students.
You know, some students have expressed, though, and I'm sure you've heard it and seen it, that concerns that the results could be manipulated, could be used against them to have a negative impact on them. How do you ensure that the survey results doesn't push a political agenda?
You know, our goal is to find out what really is happening on our campuses. And I think that the key to all of this is to not be afraid of what we learn and have an open and civil dialogue about what we learn and what can we take from that to make ourselves better. That is the absolute focus of what we're trying to do. When we roll out the results toward the end of January is our current expectation. We plan to have that kind of dialogue about what we're seeing, what we're learning, and use it in a way that really helps improve the experience for our students and continues to improve the climate on our campuses. And again, I think the climate on our campuses around freedom of expression is already really good. There's a lot of initiatives that have been done over the years. This is simply the next step in the process as we continue to focus on modeling and making sure that our universities are marketplaces of ideas where, you know, difficult topics can be discussed, where we can have vigorous and passionate debate, but yet in a civil manner where people are not labeled and they're not tainted by their perspectives or the questions that they ask. In a polarized environment, the universities have to be able to model that. And that's what we're trying to achieve. The free speech survey is simply one tool in that process. The bigger issue, in my mind, is ensuring that we have freedom of expression, that people feel comfortable expressing their views, asking questions, debating difficult and nuanced issues that we face as a society that aren't going to be resolved by tweets and soundbites.
Can you point to particular initiatives that you have seen over the years that have helped improve the climate for freedom of speech on your campuses?
Yeah, there are various things that each of the universities have done to ensure that different viewpoints are presented. They talk about it from a teaching perspective about how you present different ideas. But I think, you know, three things that we announced as when we announced the survey, we'll forward that at the system level. We have created the Wisconsin Institute for Citizenship and Civil Dialogue, which will serve as a convener and collaborator and coordinate the various policy and research centers across the state that are focused on issues of constitutional law and public affairs, whether that's the Thompson Center, the Whitburn Center, the Menard Center, and others. And we're focusing on trying to find joint programming where that we can continue to elevate issues around civil dialogue and First Amendment on all of our campuses. The second thing we're going to be doing is we're going to be organizing peer-to-peer conversations on challenging topics. And interestingly enough, this was inspired by an idea of a UW-Madison student, and it was called It's Just Coffee. Mm-hmm. But what he would do is he would convene students of different perspectives and just get the conversation going. That's what we plan to do on our campuses in consultation with our chancellors and our campus leadership. And I intend to participate in those conversations because this is important to me. It's one of the reasons that I found this job intriguing, and one of the reasons I wanted to have the opportunity to do precisely what I'm doing. Third thing that we're doing is that
I just have to pause right there before we do get to the third thing. I'm going to reintroduce you. Jay Rothman, president of the University of Wisconsin System, as we discuss issues pertaining to the 13 universities in the system. Call in with questions, 800-642-1234, as we'll pick this up. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with Jay Rothman, president of the UW system, as we talk about pressing issues before the universities. Now let's get an update on our year-end member drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm with Rick Ryer, and we're here to say that you set your favorite programs up for success in 2023 with your gift during this year-end member drive. And maybe you've already given this year, or you make ongoing monthly gifts. Today, make a special year-end gift for the programs you rely on all year long. Takes just a few minutes at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
There's about 40 minutes left in this hour. We're looking for six more people to join in. When you give, you fund The Morning Show and all the other WPR programs that you count on every day. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And here in The Morning Show, you know, we hear from Wisconsinites from all walks of life, sometimes from really high levels of government and leadership, like now with the UW system. And it's really important that they connect with all of us here in Wisconsin as we have these really important conversations. And I also want to say, you know, it's what you would hear is the Wisconsin idea alive and well on our talk programming. So these are the kinds of conversations you count on from The Morning Show.
And WPR is listener-supported. That means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
And if you're looking for an easy way to make a gift to WPR, become a sustaining member, making automatic monthly contributions from your bank account or credit card.
A lot of people give $15 a month on this plan. Some give $100, and that the amount itself is totally up to you. As a sustainer, your ongoing member of WPR, providing reliable funding for the favorite programs that you rely on every single day at this radio station, Wisconsin Public Radio. Start today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now let's admit it. Sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I have definitely bought some crazy clothes.
It's a little thing, you wind it up and it goes across the top of the table. She broke it in the first 5 seconds.
Silliest thing. It was Kahlua.
It's pretty easy to make a questionable decision about how we spend our money, and it can be just as easy, and not a bad idea, to make a few sound investments along the way, like supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR, so make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rick Ryer. Your support during this year-end member drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And so your gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
And if you've already made an annual contribution or you make ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, thank you so much. You are the backbone of WPR.
And if you haven't given yet, join tens of thousands of dedicated WPR members when you donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when six more people support WPR programs in the next few minutes, WPR will meet its goal. It's listener-supported, listener-powered contributions right now. That's why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Shout out to William in Milwaukee. Says, I'm an everyday listener benefiting in so many ways from your programming. It and the people who deliver this service deserves my support. William, thank you so much. Join William. Your gift is powerful. It makes a difference at WPR.org. And thanks. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As we discuss the UW System's free speech survey that's underway, the system's efforts to get state-specific data on how students view their First Amendment rights. Survey closes December 14th. Be part of the conversation on civil dialogue. Other UW questions fielding as well. 800-642-1234. Conversation right here. 800-642-1234. Jay Rothman is president of the UW System and stays with us. Jay, let's pick that up. How is the UW system encouraging civil dialogue on campuses? What do you see?
Well, we were before the break, Kate, we were talking about the creation of the Institute. We were talking about organizing the peer-to-peer conversations. The third thing that we're going to do is we're going to sponsor and promote the Wisconsin Civic Schemes, hopefully holding some of those contests on our campus, on our campuses. We've committed $20,000 that would fund scholarships and cash awards and targeted promotions in an effort to encourage citizenship and civic engagement among middle and high school students. And then finally, we've created a civil dialogue website for our UW system universities, which is a resource center for them to consider that. But, you know, the big point, I think, is that we want to model for our students the whole topic of civil debate, civil dialogue to address the challenging issues we face as a society.
And yet still there will be issues, right? I mean, in October, there was the conservative commentator who opposes the recognition of transgender rights who visited the UW-Madison campus, flagship campus. Matt Walsh was met with protesters and vandalism on university buildings. How should students express disagreement with a speaker on campus?
I mean, I think they should express it. The protests, raising issues, challenging, asking questions are all legitimate forms of that type of civil dialogue. Obviously, the vandalism takes it one step too far. But my hope is that we could have conversations and model those conversations. It's one of the initiatives that we'll do on campuses is sit down with students of differing views and have them walk through and talk about it. And on a face-to-face basis, have a conversation about some of those challenging issues that we face in our society. If we can't do that, we're never going to resolve them. We're never going to get to a point where at least we can say we agree to disagree. And that's where we want people to get to ultimately, because we're not going to agree on everything. This is not an attempt to say we all have to believe the same thing or agree on the same thing. But I think it is an attempt to truly understand what it is like to be in somebody else's shoes.
Let's bring Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just going to jump in here. I want to bring on a caller. Ellen is joining us from Madison. Ellen, hi. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, you know, one of the things that contributes or does not contribute to civil conversations is technology, and I think we're finding that at least with social media, there's a tendency to accelerate or aggravate discord and animosity among. I mean, that's sort of built into a lot of the social media platforms. It's the way they generate users and advertisers and so forth. So I'm just wondering if, you know, in that context and then overall, whether the university is willing to take a little bit more critical approach to technology beyond just the technical issues of how to do it. And are we too dependent on our phones? Are we doing social media right for at all ages of the population and that sort of thing?
Ellen, thank you. Jay Rothman.
Yeah, Ellen, I think it's an excellent point, and I absolutely agree with you. I think people will say things on social media that they would never say in a face-to-face setting. And I think our goal is to equip our students to think about how they deal with social media. And what it's like to have that face-to-face conversation, because ultimately we want people to be thinking in that respect. What would I say to somebody who I vehemently disagree with that's sitting across the table from me, as opposed to somewhere in the ether of the cyber world? And I think that is what we ought to be focusing on, and helping our students understand how to use those tools in a responsible and effective manner. Because they're there. They're going to be there. It's not something that the system, and I certainly wouldn't suggest that we try to regulate social media at that level. I think the question is, how do we use those tools effectively? How do we provide examples of what civil dialogue really should look like?
Jay Rothman, with us, president of the UW system. Call in with what's on your mind with the UW and the 13 universities, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. UW System President Jay Rothman is 6 months into his tenure, and we're checking in on a bunch of issues. Now let's turn to our year-end member drive at Wisconsin Public Radio, here with Rick Ryer. And we're here to say you make the Ideas Network programs possible when you give during this year-end member drive. Join in and support the programs you rely on all year long with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, Kate, what really makes me love our WPR family? It's the fact that they turn out. Thank you so much for giving this hour and all throughout the member drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, 24 people have given during this hour, and that surpassed our goal. Thank you so much for giving.
Yeah, thank you so much for crushing it. And if you haven't given, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Let's carry this momentum forward. Your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
On this program, you hear policymakers, politicos answer questions on a variety of state, national, and international topics.
Yeah, case in point, Mondays during the State Capitol Report, we cover legislative sessions, the state elections, state budget issues, big thing there, state Supreme Court. You hear directly from your lawmakers. You have a line to lawmakers. And then we also bring you the hour-long book conversations with authors who take us deeply into the issues of our time.
We cover a lot of ground every week, and you're part of that as a listener, a caller, and a contributor. Support this valuable source of information and access to great guests with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as the donor, you get to decide how much to give, and maybe $100 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
And that might be what you spend every month on takeout or entertainment, for example, things you enjoy and things that make your life better, just like listening to WPR. The important thing is that you decide what amount is right for you and then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Sheree from Waupun.
I felt so guilty. I felt like a freeloader for years. I have to say, I just became a member in this past year, and it was a sustaining member, and I want to make sure it fell on a time where I knew I was going to always have it, and I plan on putting you in my will. Even if it's only like a $500 gift, I plan on leaving my mark here. I want to make sure that this continues. I do. This is very important to me.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation this year-end member drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rick Ryer. The WPR programs you enjoy are possible thanks to your support, your contribution of, say, $10 a month or $100 a month or whatever amount you choose. It makes a difference for our entire community.
Help keep WPR going strong as we enter 2023. Become a first-time donor or make an extra year-end gift to support the programs that you value. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, and we're just having such a great morning here. Let's keep the momentum going strong. WPR listener-powered, and that's why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Support Wisconsin Public Radio and ask for your nifty WPR playing cards. Got a deck right here, and I'm ready to play.
Oh, my gosh, the sound effects. I love it.
Yeah, I'm ready to play Crazy Eights this morning. Support Wisconsin Public Radio. This traditional card deck featuring illustrations of Wisconsin wildlife is yours with any gift at any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Step up right now because this gift is only available today while supplies last.
Yes, and now is a great time to become a sustaining member. Easy to set up, convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. Get started now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Mary in Appleton says, I love the news, music, and sense of community that WPR gives. It's on all day in my home and my car. Your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much.
It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. About 161,000 students enrolled at UW System Universities this fall. The system's fall enrollment data out in recent days. Bring your questions, your concerns about the UW system. Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Call in at 800-642-1234. We have System President Jay Rothman, who stays with us. Let's discuss campus consolidation. UW Platteville Richland Center not closing at the moment, but no more face-to-face classes as of next fall. Can you explain what's behind this decision?
Absolutely. I mean, I said when I took my new role that I would evaluate everything and try to bring a new perspective, and that's what we did in this case. You know, certainly moving the academic function away from Richland was a hard decision. But I believe it was the right one, and it was based on facts. We looked at the low enrollment at that campus. It was down to 60, and I don't think there were signs that it was going to change significantly. And when you looked at the economic impact, that was one, but we also considered the student experience and were we giving our students at the Richland campus the level of quality college experience that they deserved. And ultimately, we concluded that we were not, and it was difficult, as I said, but I believe it is the right decision. With that said, I think it's important that should not be read as a sign that what we'll do at our other branch campuses. And we are very focused on accessibility and affordability, and certainly our branch campuses offer that. And we're seeing examples across the system of thriving branch campuses where they are starting to turn and stabilize enrollments and in some cases increasing enrollments through different initiatives that they're putting forward. So we remain committed to providing access through a streamlined and free application process campuses that are readily available across the state, and of course the new Wisconsin tuition promise, which I think takes tuition off the table for those students of lower socioeconomic means. But at the same time, listen, I realize that this is a challenge for the students who attended the Richland campus, as well as faculty and staff there, and we are going to work with them to do the best we can. I also appreciate it that it impacts the Richland Center community and Richland County generally, and we're also going to work with that in terms of providing an ongoing presence of the UW system on that campus. It just won't be the academic instruction component going forward starting next fall.
I hear you say, you know, other branch campuses shouldn't read too much here into what's going on. But, I mean, you've watched branch campuses going off a big, you know, enrollment cliffs. And you've said, you know, that status quo isn't sustainable in this particular case. But, you know, what should other branch campuses, other universities pay attention to here? What lessons should they learn from this Richland Center decision?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. One is, I think if we look at it more generally, the impact that we're seeing in our branch campuses is not inconsistent with what junior and community colleges are seeing throughout the country in terms of enrollment declines. And I think, you know, yeah, the tech colleges have faced those, probably had more precipitous declines than we have. And I think we need to continue to face that. But there are things that are going on. If you think about what's going on at UW-Green Bay, which is really focused on dual enrollment, that is bringing, you know, high school students and allowing high school students to earn credit while they're still in high school. We have students who are getting their associate's degree while they are still in high school, which is fantastic because they can then go into the four-year institution. They have 2 years left. UW-Milwaukee at its Waukesha and Washington County branch is doing some interesting things. For example, on the Waukesha County branch, they brought the four-year nursing program there. They'll be bringing a psychology program, a four-year psychology degree to the Waukesha campus in 2023. Stevens Point has done some really interesting things at its branch campuses in Wausau and Marshfield, where they're offering MBA courses in person. At those institutions because the community has asked for that. So there are various different ways we can further, you know, integrate the branch campuses with the main campus, the main university campuses to make this effective. I think that's what we ought to be looking for because at the end of the day, Kate, I mean, Wisconsin is facing a war for talent. We are simply not graduating enough people to fulfill the needs of our state. And that's the critical point in all of this. That's one of the strategic elements that we're looking at. We're setting a goal of graduating 41,000 students a year by the end of our five-year plan, up 10% from where we are right now. We need more nurses. We need more engineers. We need more teachers. We need more data scientists. You go down the line, we're not graduating enough people in the state, in my opinion, to maintain its long-term economic viability. And that's what we're going to be, when we talk to the legislature, that's what we want to be focused on, because this is a long-term viability of a state that I believe in. Having spent all but 3 years of my life in this state, I want to see this state thrive as it should.
I'm going to reintroduce you here, Jay Rothman, president of the UW system. As we look at a range of issues, you can join the conversation, 800-642-1234. You bring up when you talk with the legislature, obviously you also have a backlog of maintenance issues. You have a capital budget request came out in September, a budget request seeking $2.4 billion to renovate 7% of the UW system buildings. When you look at the infrastructure, what are the challenges you see? Which building renovation projects are high priorities? How do you tackle this?
Well, I think, you know, we have to put our requests in front of the legislature and make a case as to why there is a return on investment for state taxpayers. We are prepared to do that. But when you look at the new buildings that we're looking at, whether it's an engineering building in Madison, whether it's a science building in La Crosse, and you kind of go down the list of the asks, they are all focused on creating the graduates that are going to support the state of Wisconsin. And when you look at that over a period of time with some issues about deferred maintenance, but just the facilities and having state-of-the-art facilities. So we are graduating people who have had access to state-of-the-art facilities. We're going to need to compete in a global environment. I mean, that's what we're focused on. And when you think about the investment that the state has made, that we all have made as state taxpayers over a number of years in the UW system, it is one of the crown jewels of our state. And we are simply trying to position ourselves that we can continue that stature and that status. I ask myself all the time, what would the state look like without the UW system schools? And I think that's what we ought to focus on. We ought to focus on the war for talent. We ought to focus on the research element and the great creative work that's done across our campuses that increase and improve human lives.
I just want to push back there for a moment, but you've got massive deferred maintenance issues with aging UW facilities across the state, and that requires you to think very strategically about what you address first. I mean, we saw the concrete slab that fell from Van Hise Hall on the UW-Madison campus last April. So how do you deal with these maintenance issues?
I think, you know, we are asking for dollars for maintenance and to deal with some of those deferred maintenance issues. So it's a combination. And there are times when it's a maintenance issue, Kate, and there are times when it simply requires replacement. Just take Madison Engineering Facility. They've got some antiquated space in there. A new building will do a couple things. It will, you know, basically deal with that deferred maintenance issue, but secondly, allow us to graduate a lot more engineers that this state desperately needs. I mean, that's a win-win. That's a return on investment that I think is tangible. And that's why, you know, we are excited when you go through the list of asks we have from a capital perspective. Some of it deals with deferred maintenance, but some of it also deals with deferred maintenance. It doesn't make sense to repair a building that is simply no longer, it's served its useful life. In that instance, replacing that building is the right thing, and you accomplish and you deal with the deferred maintenance issue that way. So it's a balance about where you repair versus where you replace.
Let's look at pay. The UW system state budget request includes a 4% annual increase in compensation for faculty and staff. Is this meant to address difficulties filling workforce vacancies?
I think it's reflecting a couple of things. One, it's reflecting the fact that as a practical matter, one of the things that we are struggling with is that we are not paying market compensation for people in the UW system schools up and down the board, you know, where we'll lose people to high schools, we'll lose people to other universities. We've got to address that. I think it's also reflective of the fact that we're experiencing a fair amount of inflation right now. And I think we want to be fair to our people, because if you think about, certainly the physical infrastructure is important, but when you think about what is going to impact the quality of our students' education, ultimately it comes with the faculty, the instructional staff, and the other staff. And one of the great things that I have seen as I've made my trips around the state very early in my tenure is the absolute commitment of everybody in the system to student success. We have to treat them fairly, though, in that respect. And that's one of the reasons that we have asked for that pay increase.
I want to land here on equity issues. I mean, our state known to be one of the worst states in the nation for racial inequality. What is in the power of the UW system to start rectifying the education gaps, the racial divides?
I think one of the things, if you look at the strategic plan that we will put forth, that we presented to the regents and will ask for their approval on this coming week, is focused on social mobility. It is focused on recruiting and then retaining and graduating people from underrepresented groups, whether that be ethnic and racial minorities, whether that be students of lower socioeconomic means. We know that education can be a great equalizer. And when you think about the wealth gap in the state, I think that's one of the other challenges we have in our state, is that wealth gap is expanding. Education and the UW system is well positioned to help the state address that issue, and that's what we're looking to do.
Jay Rothman, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time today.
You too. Jay Rothman, president of the University of Wisconsin System, and for disclosure, Wisconsin Public Radio is a service of UW-Madison. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show, and it is the year-end membership drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent with Rick Ryer. And, you know, it's time to take stock. Think about how much you've learned from and enjoyed WPR programs in 2022. And with 2023 around the corner, take action and give the programs you rely on a strong start in the new year at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's been a great morning here at Wisconsin Public Radio on the morning show. 33 of you joined in to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you so much.
Wow.
Your gift right now is so important because when you give, you support the programs that you rely on every day.
And thank you so much if you've already given. And if you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This hour, UW President Jay Rothman joined the morning show for updates on what's happening with the UW system at this time. This is information that really does affect us all in Wisconsin. These are the kinds of conversations that you can count on from the morning show.
WPR is listener supported, and it means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the wealth of topics that you join us for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
We have a special gift for you today only. It's the WPR playing cards that feature beautiful illustrations of Wisconsin wildlife. Support WPR programs with your gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and ask for your deck. Let your friends and family know WPR is your source for information and inspiration while playing your favorite games.
For me, it's really a sense of a connection to the world and the world of ideas. It keeps me informed. It keeps me thinking. I can't remember the number of times that I've had conversations with people saying, oh, I heard something this morning on Wisconsin Public Radio or National Public Radio. And then it's a way of having a very interesting discussion with other people about some of those ideas. And so I think that it keeps me informed and it keeps me thinking and is a way of engaging other people in important ideas. This is David Corey from Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for information in the arts, culture, politics, and the world.
Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. It is the year-end member drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rick Ryer. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you rely on, and that's why your gift today, now, of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, has an important impact.
There's just a few minutes left in the morning show today, and thank you so much for all of your support this hour. These hourly goals that we have set up are there to ensure that we have the funding for the programs that you enjoy. So make your donation right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you've never given to WPR before, here is what to expect. It's a super short process, takes just a few minutes. You answer some basic questions, your name and address, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay it.
And that's it. It's pretty simple. Make that first donation to WPR. You'll feel good about it because listener support is such a big part of what makes WPR happen. Many first-time donors give $10 a month or $120. The amount is really up to you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, and a shout-out to sustainers and just the whole community of WPR listener members. We hear you. We respond to you. We know you're there. You are the backbone. So your gift matters right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's so important.
And if you like Canasta or Crazy Eight or something, any card game, poker, you can show off your public radio pride over a game with the WPR playing cards. Today only, they're available while supplies last when you make a gift of any amount in support of WPR programs at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
heard from Bob in Waukesha says we're longtime listeners. Their favorite shows are The Morning Show and The Larry Mueller Show. Bob, thank you so much for your support. Your gift right now is important. It makes a difference at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support for Wisconsin Public Radio. The Morning Show production team includes Courtney Everett, Trevor Hook, Mackenzie Crummy, Joel Patnod, Royce Podeswa, and Joe Tarr. Our technical director is Maria Lopez. Keegan Kyle is interim executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Stay with us next for 1A here on the Ideas Network.